That is what we want to be reflecting and thinking about this evening. The message of the Messiah coming into the mess of our world in order to rescue. It's true, isn't it? On our Christmas cards, we have a very pretty scene often of the nativity story, a very sanitized version of what it is, what it was like. With all that expectation that we've just been hearing about, and the start of Luke's gospel that we've been thinking about these past few weeks, we could be forgiven for thinking that when Jesus actually came, it would be a pretty spectacular moment. And yet, as we carry on thinking about Luke chapter 2 this evening, and if you've got a Bible with you, do open up to Luke 2. That's what we're going to be working our way through together this evening. What we're going to see is that it was an understated arrival. As Jesus, the Son of God, arrived on the scene, it was not what we might expect for the promised, the long-promised King. See, Luke begins his gospel account with two angelic visits, two miraculous conceptions, and many connections with the promises of God in the Old Testament that a Savior King from the line of David is coming. So the expectations we have of this baby are pretty exceptional. But when the moment actually comes for the birth of this new king, but it all happens in a pretty understated, unimpressive way, doesn't it? Luke sets the scene in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2. Let me read them for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Well, it feels pretty apt this Christmas time that the first Christmas unfolded under imposed government restrictions. That's what was going on, wasn't it? Caesar Augustus had said to everyone, look, you've got to go to your hometown to register this Christmas time. You can't be where you want to be. I mean, it obviously wasn't known as Christmas time at that point. But Caesar Augustus had ordered a census which required everyone to travel. Mary and Joseph may well have preferred to stay in their normal town of Nazareth, but being good citizens, they head to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem to be registered, verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Why did Caesar order this census? Well, he wanted to show everyone how great and powerful he was, what a great and powerful ruler he was, and how great and powerful Rome was. But at the same time, the true sovereign, the one who really rules over everything, was busy enacting his own plan. Because hundreds of years before Caesar Augustus was even born, through the prophet Micah, God had foretold that Bethlehem, the place that Mary and Joseph now travel to, would be the chosen birthplace of the long-promised Messiah. I think Micah chapter 5 verse 2 is coming up on the screen now for us. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. God was planning hundreds of years beforehand to use this little town of no great renown to reveal his power, to fulfill his promise, to send a ruler. There is no great palace or fanfare of trumpets, though. Verse 6. While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. That's all that Luke tells us about the birth of Jesus. After this big build-up, There's no golden dummy for the royal king, no silk for him to be wrapped in. But right here, in the humble town of Bethlehem, in an unimpressive, ordinary family home, the Son of God, was born. As an ordinary, helpless, dependent little baby. Is those unimpressive surroundings, though, that show us exactly the kind of king that he's going to be? Firstly, we see in these unimpressive surroundings his real humanity. He really did become a human, like you and me. And we also see real humility. You see, in order to save us from our sin, Jesus had to become fully like us. It was because he was willing to enter completely into the human experience. Becoming a human being like any other, being born as a baby, that he was able to save us. It was only then that he could represent us, to die in our place, because he was real flesh and blood. So these humble beginnings remind us of Jesus' complete and authentic humanity. And so they should lead us then to delight in his exceedingly great humility. In verse 7, as Mary laid this little baby in an animal feeding trough, she held in her arms none other than the eternal Son of God, who made the very world in which he now lived. Just wrap your head around that for a moment. The baby she held in her arms was the very one who made the stars that were shining that night. The very one who made the animals that were surrounding the crib in the nativity scene. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. That is incredible humility, isn't it? Now, of course, from these humble beginnings, he would go on to humble himself still further, to the point of death on a cross. We'll think a bit more about that later on. But what a saviour who would give up the glory of heaven to come and be born as a helpless baby for you and for me. He could have commanded the angels to attend to his every whim, but for you and for me, he was made lower than the angels in order to serve and suffer and save. So in this understated arrival, we see Jesus' real humanity and his real humility. Well, as we ponder that together, it should lead us to great praise, to declare how great God is, that he would rescue in such an unexpected but necessary way. And so we're going to say together the words of Psalm chapter 8. They're going to come up on the screen. And then after that, we're going to go straight into our next song, Maker Made a Child, which I hope will help us reflect more on this incredible reality. So I'm going to invite the band to come up at this point, so we're ready to go straight into that. It's probably a song that you're unfamiliar with. It's not one that we've done at Central before. So I'm going to encourage us to stay seated for the song and while we read Psalm 8 together. We say together, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Oh,
Thank you so much to our musicians. That was beautiful. And what an incredible reality that the maker of the world became a child. Now, that birth was understated in so many ways, perfectly ordinary. But the events that surrounded it were anything but ordinary, because this is no ordinary baby. God was doing something special, wasn't he? Something unique, something history-changing, something world-changing. And the world needed to know. And so as Luke's account of what happened at that very first Christmas time proceeds, we see that this wasn't special news for a select few. It wasn't to be a closely guarded secret just for Mary and Joseph and whoever they saw fit to tell. No, God had sent his one and only son into the world, and like any proud father announcing the birth of their child, he wanted the world to know. And so he sent his messengers, the angels, out to the fields of Bethlehem to make an utterly unmissable announcement. An announcement which is unmissable in style and unmissable in substance. Have a look at verses 8 and 9 of Luke 2 with me. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Well, of course they would be, wouldn't they? Imagine you were at work earlier this week and suddenly an angelic being appears before you. You'd be pretty scared. Of course you'd be surprised and afraid. But there was something more going on that Bethlehem night that needs our consideration. You see, some people might think, okay, this is where the Christmas story starts to get into the realm of fairy tale for me. Angels? Really? But remember, this isn't an ordinary day. This is the day that God came to earth as a baby to come and rescue his lost and broken world. So we shouldn't be surprised at something pretty spectacular, something out of the ordinary, something extraordinary happens to announce this extraordinary event. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a huge amount about angels other than that they're God's special messengers that he uses at special moments like these to tell people that there is something that they need to sit up and pay attention to. And that's what we need to do as we hear the angels' message this evening. So let's not write off the reality of these historical events because of the angels and because of the miraculous aspects of it. We should expect something pretty special to announce the arrival of the Son of God. And we get it. You see, when the shepherds see the angel, Luke says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, that phrase might seem a bit odd to us. God's glory, is it just some kind of really bright light? It's actually talking about God's visible presence in the world. See, in the Bible, people only get to see God's glory at really significant moments. One of the most famous is probably when Moses was up on Mount Sinai and God was making a covenant promise to him, a really significant relational promise to Moses and his people. There we see Moses gets to glimpse God's glory. So when we read that God's glory shone around on that night, we're meant to sit up and pay attention. There's something really significant and special going on here. And so as the shepherds see this angel, it is a sign, and they see the glory of the Lord, it's a sign of God's very own presence with them. That's why they're scared. It's not just the bright light. Throughout the Bible, you see, no one can enter God's presence and live. But with the coming of Jesus, all of that is going to change. That's why the angel's message is so profound and so important. Have a look at verses 10 to 14 with me. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Well, what a message to receive. Good news of great joy that is for all the people. That is what Christmas is all about. Christmas brings good news of great joy for all people. Now, this year has been pretty bleak, hasn't it? It's been filled with bad news, bringing great despair for most people. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough of the bad news. I think we all have. But the good news of this Christmas time, despite Boris's announcement yesterday, is that there is good news of great joy for everyone, for you. No matter who you are this evening, no matter what you've done, no matter how your 2020 has been, there is light at the end of the tunnel. But it's not found in a vaccine. It's found in the Son of God, born to rescue. The news of the very first Christmas is good news for us today. So if we want a happy Christmas this year, a joy-filled Christmas, in spite of all the restrictions and the challenges, this is the place to look. Let's listen to the angels as they declare, verse 11, that a Saviour has been born. Now, I think much of the time we're able to go about our lives ignoring the brokenness of our world. We're able to hide from it and hide from the emptiness that we so often feel within ourselves. But this year, one of the things which has been so painful about it is that it has revealed what's always been true and what's been hidden. That we live in a world full of troubles, full of pain and suffering and sickness, anxiety and fear and death. We live in a world of darkness. But at Christmas time, light burst into the darkness. It is no coincidence that the angels appear to the shepherds watching their flocks at night. So that the brightness, the light that shines out really has its impact. Our world is in darkness, and the only thing that can bring light and hope into the darkness of our lost and broken world and into our lost and broken lives is God. Now, the Bible says that our world is in darkness because of our relationship with God being broken, because we have rejected God as our loving ruler and tried to do life according to our own rules. But if this year has taught us anything, it's that trying to do life that way doesn't work, because we're not in control. We all need help. But that's what makes the announcement of the angels, the news that God sent a choir of angels to sing about, such good news. Because a Saviour has been born to bring peace once and for all. That's what the angel said, isn't it? Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. God had sent his Son to rescue us, to bring forgiveness, and to restore our relationship with God forever. This is cosmic love in action. Now, Jesus ultimately rescues not by his birth, but as we touched on earlier, by his death. Jesus knew that when he came into the world. He came to head towards a moment when he would die on a cross. The good news of great joy that is for all people is only possible because of Good Friday. The day when Jesus, the eternal Son of God, humbled himself, having humbled himself to take on flesh and blood, then humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. To shed that blood for you and for me. To die the death that we deserve for rejecting God's rule. All in order that we might be forgiven and our world might be restored. And I think that's what we all want, isn't it? A world that is restored. A world where light overcomes the darkness. Well, that is what is on offer this Christmas time. That is the truly good news of great joy. That is for all people. So I'm going to encourage us now to take a moment to reflect silently on that good news. Then I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession, asking for God's forgiveness for the times when actually we've lost sight of the fact that Christmas really is all about Jesus and the rescue that he came to bring. And then we're going to go into our next song, O Come All You Unfaithful, a song of welcome for whoever puts their trust in him. So let's take a few moments to reflect on the things we've been hearing, and then I'll lead us in a prayer of confession. Have the words for the confession on the screen, and we pray together. Heavenly Father, we admit that during all the joys and festivities of this season, we have sometimes forgotten what Christmas really means. There have been times when we have left the Lord Jesus out of our thinking and living. We are sorry that we have allowed the most important event in history to be dulled by familiarity. Please forgive us and help us to remember that you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, born to be our Saviour. Help us this Christmas time to recapture a sense of wonder that the Creator of the universe came to us as a baby, and fill our hearts with a love that cares, understands, and gives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So let's celebrate that as we listen to and engage with here in the building our next song, O Come All You Unfaithful. And straight after this, Andrew and Bernadette will come and lead us in our prayers.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Lord, we thank and praise you for the gift of Jesus, and that you were willing to humble yourself and come among us as a helpless human baby that first Christmas. Your human family were refugees, so we pray for all in the world who are living as refugees now. We pray especially for the many living in war-torn countries, especially the Yemen at this time. We pray that governments will provide justly for them and help aid agencies, especially Christian ones, to provide food and necessities and a sense of hope in their darkness and difficulty. We pray for refugees seeking a new life in this country. Help us as a country and as a church to make them welcome. We also pray for Christians who are persecuted in many parts of the world, that you will strengthen and protect them and enable them to remain faithful to you when under great pressure. We know ourselves of Christians in Eritrea who've been in prison for many years. May they know your comfort and peace and a real sense of your presence with them.
Father, we just thank you for the two men that were baptized this morning. And we pray that you will bless them and keep them, make your face shine upon them, and give you his peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. As we continue to pray for the vulnerable, we celebrate and thank you for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that in him you made yourself weak and vulnerable. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Lord, we lift to you the widow, the fatherless, the poor, all the vulnerable people, Lord. We pray for the work of Mercy Ministries in this church. Lord, we pray for the Sheffield Pregnancy Counselling Services, that you would give love and wisdom to Louise and those giving counsel and support. Lord, we thank you for your continued hand on Burngreave Food Bank. We ask you for protection from COVID for the volunteers and workers. And Lord, we pray for the literature that's going out with the food this Christmas. And we pray that you will also give us new ways of listening to folk and sharing the love of Jesus with them, now that we're confined to deliveries only. Lord, thank you for the street pastors, for wisdom in dealing with the ongoing restrictions on social gatherings, Lord, we ask for. Lord, we ask that the Christmas message of God's love and saving plan would be communicated through, in some way, through all the gifts given by via Food Bank, Snowdrop, Galeed, and Assist. And Lord, open our eyes to the needs of folk around us, among our friends and neighbours, and on the streets outside this building. And we ask for wisdom for Louise and the church in how to grow and develop the Mercy Ministries in the coming year. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, with further restrictions to social gatherings just being announced yesterday, we ask for a speedy end to the coronavirus pandemic and the difficulties it's caused for many. Give wisdom to our leaders as they make important decisions. We pray the vaccine will be effective and distributed quickly to those who need it. We pray also that poor countries will also have fair access to the vaccine. We pray for those who've been bereaved, suffered long-term illness post-COVID, or have lost jobs and are struggling financially. Help Christians to be sharing the Christian message in new ways, so that many people will be prompted to turn to you for help and real hope in this difficult time. We pray for those in our church family struggling with physical or mental illness in themselves or close family members. May they know your peace and your healing hand. We also pray for any who are recently bereaved, especially remembering Josh Powell and Penelope and the close family and friends of theirs who experienced this terrible tragedy recently. May they know your comfort and peace and be given strength and grace to carry on. We pray for our church leaders, give them wisdom, strength, and servant hearts so they can lead us all to become more Christ-like. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much to Andrew and Bernadette for leading us in our prayers there. We're coming now to our final reflection on the last part of Luke 2 verses 15 to 21. And we're coming really to think about how the shepherds respond to this unmissable message that they have just received. Now when something extraordinary interrupts the ordinary, we've got a few options, haven't we? Depending what it is, we can try and ignore it and carry on as normal. Although I think as we've discovered this year, that's not always possible. We can think, I'll give that some more thought at a later point, but I'm too busy to really give it the full attention that it needs right now. Sometimes when extraordinary things interrupt our ordinary workings of things, we just have to face it full on because we don't have another choice. It's inescapable. Or there are times when we need to deliberately choose to give this extraordinary interruption our full and undivided attention. Those are some of the options that lay before us when something extraordinary interrupts the ordinary. That's the choice that lay before the shepherds at that very first Christmas time. As they were there on the hillside watching after their flocks, they may well have been conflicted. They'd had a whole heavenly host appear to them and tell them that you can go and meet a saviour who's going to bring peace to the whole world. But surely part of them would have been thinking, but we've got our sheep to look after. Who's going to look after them if we go? What might happen to them if we're gone? Can we really afford to take the time out to see if this is real or not? What if it's some kind of hoax? Will it really be worth the journey? Now, it's possible that you're here this evening with similar questions. You know, you've listened to the announcement of the angels. You think maybe there could be some truth to it. But, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on right now. There's coronavirus. There's Brexit on the horizon. There's all sorts of other things to worry about. Maybe I'm just too busy. Maybe it can wait until, you know, next year or the year after. But the unmissable announcement that we were thinking about just a few moments ago demands our attention. You see, the shepherds were convinced that they must go and see for themselves right there, right then. Have a look at verses 15 and 16 of Luke 2 with me. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They dropped everything and went as quickly as they could. They had to see for themselves. You see, the coming of Jesus demands our full and undivided attention. It is a once-in-history event. And so the shepherds rightly went as quickly as they could to go and see what was going on. It's not the kind of news that can or should be ignored. It's the kind of news that we should explore and respond to. It's the kind of news that requires action. Now, for some of us, that will mean reading and exploring it for the first time. Giving Jesus our full attention for the first time, taking the opportunity of this quieter Christmas to read and contemplate who Jesus really is and whether the things the angels said of him could really be true. Why not carry on reading through Luke's Gospel, see what happens when Jesus grows up, or join us in January as we continue as a church to work our way through it, or keep coming back to some of our other Christmas services. Because this really is good news of great joy for ye. Don't put it off. Give it your full and undivided attention. Now, for others of us who already know Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour, perhaps as we read about the shepherds and their haste to go and see Jesus for themselves with their own eyes, it means reevaluating. Is Jesus really our top priority as we come into this unusual Christmas time? You know, are you coming to church with the same eager expectation and anticipation that the shepherds had as they hurried off to Bethlehem, expecting to learn about and see amazing things about God's promised King? Are we really living as though we have good news of great joy that is for all people? Are we living like that every day? Are our hearts filled with wonder and joy as we remember and celebrate the history transforming coming of God to earth as a man? You see, the shepherds are so bowled over with it and with what's happened that they tell everyone. They tell everyone they meet what they've seen and heard. Have a look at verses 17 and 18. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They're like new parents themselves, aren't they? You know, when our daughter Emily was first born, I couldn't help myself telling random people, shopkeepers, people I barely knew, the exciting news that I was a dad and I had a little baby. And this news is so much more important and significant than that. And what did the shepherds find when they told the news? All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wanted to know more. because the news that heralds this news heralds the beginning not just of a single new life, but of a new era where new life is available for all. An era of hope for the hopeless. An era of light to break the darkness. An era of peace for our conflicted world. That's why the shepherds return from the humble scene of the baby in the manger, telling everyone what they've seen with great joy in their hearts. Verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So I wonder, who could we go out and share this incredible news of the first Christmas time with this Christmas? How could our hearts be filled with the joy and the delight that those shepherds had? Well, as we finish this evening, I want us to join in with the delight and the adoration of those shepherds. Let's be filled with the same wonder and joy as they had as we listen to, and if you're at home, sing along with our final song, He Who Is Mighty. It has these incredible words in it. Yeah, do come out if you're in the band. These incredible words: He who is mighty has done a great thing, taken on flesh, conquered death's sting, shattered the darkness, and lifted our shame. Holy is his name. What a wonderful Saviour. Let's adore him and delight in him now.